Hello, Hello and welcome to the Indie Business Podcast, where we empower you to enjoy your life, build your business, and have your way. Today's show is sponsored by Essential Wholesale. For all you indie cosmetics companies out there, Essential Wholesale supplies you with the largest selection of naturally derived cosmetics bases in the world. Get ready for increased sales, including around the holidays, with more product to offer your customers this season and all year long. Learn more at EssentialWholesale.com. My guest today is an attorney, an award-winning businesswoman, a blogger, an online radio show host. She left a successful career as a lawyer and CEO of a technology company to pursue what she calls more satisfaction and achievement with her own business than working in someone else's. Anita Campbell is the founder and CEO of SmallBizTrends.com, which offers a variety of websites and information feeds to help you stay informed about the small business market. As she puts it, her business is small business delivered daily. Her work has been praised by Forbes, Hewlett-Packard, MSNBC, and multiple other influential business leaders and outlets, both online and off. One of Anita's newest ventures, BizSugar.com, is a social bookmarking and networking site that allows you to submit, share, and vote for the best stories, information, and links on the Internet. Anita Campbell, welcome to Indie.
Hi, Donna. It's great to be here. Thank you for having me.
Now, Anita, so many of our listeners today, they have full-time jobs, or maybe they recently left one. And like you once were, Anita, they're dealing with the issue of confidence. Confidence to start something new, to take a risk, to put themselves out there, and you've done all that in your own business. So tell us what you did before you took the leap to prepare yourself, and you know, not just what you wish you'd done, Anita, but what you did that worked for you and helped propel you forward.
Well, you know, the first thing is to just stop thinking about the past and start thinking about going forward, because I think we tend to get caught up in maybe what we didn't do in the past. I mean, if you're like me, you spend a lot of time worrying about, you know, what you could have done, and that's not very productive. So what you want to do is just focus on the forward-looking efforts that you're going to take, what you're going to be doing, and picture in your mind what you want to become. You know, what do you want this new business venture to become, or what do you want your new career to look like, or, you know, how do you want your life to be going forward? And that's the best advice I can give you. And that gives you confidence. You're not caught up in, you know, any failures of the past or, you know, in any insecurities that you may have had.
And Anita, something you just said sort of just strikes a nerve with me. You said not just focusing on the business, but also focusing on what you want your life to be like. What do you mean by that?
Well, you know, our lives and our businesses are so intricately tied together. I think it's only in America where we try to separate these things. And especially when you're running your own business, I think it's a great opportunity to integrate your life and your business together. Now, some people don't necessarily like that. They want to keep things separate. You know, this is my business time over here, and then over on the other side is my personal time, and never the two shall meet. But I think one of the benefits of having your own business is that you can do some of your business work for a while, and then if you need to go out and run an errand, for example, you can do that in the middle of what would otherwise be a work day a lot of times, unless you're running a retail business. But if you're, you know, if you're in another type of business, you have a much more fluid schedule, and you can integrate your life and your business together. And so you might want to think about, how do you want to live your life going forward? Do you want to always be like leaving the house at 7 o'clock in the morning, going to work, not returning until, you know, six o'clock at night, and no personal life in between? Or do you want a more integrated life?
Good point. Excellent point. And you know, Anita, sometimes it really can just get overwhelming, all the things that we have to keep up with. I mean, even if we have the most confident attitude, as you said, even if we know exactly what it is that we want to do and how we want to balance the integration that you just talked about, it can get overwhelming. We're going to talk for a minute about how bizsugar.com can help. But before we get to that, what trends do you see coming up, Anita, and how do we prioritize and apply them to our business in this fast-paced world, particularly as we think about approaching the start of a new year?
Well, you know, the internet, the web, are increasingly important for businesses. And so, you know, whether you have a decent web presence now or one that you want to improve, I think there's always room for improvement. Even those with the best presence online can always do better. And blogging is one of the ways to do that. I mean, I think blogs, there are a lot more blogs today, and I think it's a little harder to get attention to a blog today than it was in the past, say a few years ago when there weren't as many blogs. But blogs are still critically important tools for small businesses. It's a way to speak to your customers one-on-one in a conversational way, or one-to-many in a conversational way. It is a way to differentiate your business. It's a way to draw in your personality into your business, because that's an advantage we small businesses and independents have, that you know, we can let our personalities show through and show what's unique about us. So blogs let you do that. I do think you do have to work a little harder to promote your blog content than, you know, say, even 2 or 3 years ago. But blogs still very effective. And I hope you're seeing that too, Donna.
Well, you know, I actually am. And let me follow up on that with this question too. If, as you mentioned, there are more blogs than ever, I suppose. But, you know, I'm sure you're familiar with this recent research. I think it was eMarketer, and I just saw something out by Forrester that seemed to indicate, well, it had statistics that indicated that while the number of blogs that are being launched is growing, it's not growing as fast as the number of blog readers is growing. Does that provide any encouragement for people who may really have a good idea for a blog and are just sort of thinking about, well, there are so many other ones? As there are more readers but less blogs to read, will those people have a better chance of capturing the attention of their niche market?
Oh, definitely. And you said something important, too, a niche market. You know, when there are more blogs, it's critically important that you define your niche well, whatever your particular niche or your focus is. And just like you're trying to differentiate your business by, you know, trying to focus in on what you do well and who you serve very, very specifically, you want that to come across in your blog. You know, one of the trends that I've seen that is, you know, I don't frankly understand is I see a lot of company blogs or, you know, blogs that are related to businesses that somehow, you know, people are blogging about everything under the sun on these blogs except, you know, what their business is about. You know what I mean? And while I think it's important that your blog posts not be sales pitches, on the other hand, I do think they should be relevant to whatever you do in your business. And so that's a trend I don't like to see. I think if you stick to what it is your business is about and you have a clear sense of, you know, what it is you're trying to say and who you're trying to say it to on a blog, blogs are very, very effective tools.
Excellent tips and ideas. And certainly you've been blogging for such a long time. So we're getting this information not just from someone who's read the studies and watched other people, but really who's done it and also who has other people blogging as guests and influential commentary, people that provide influential commentary as well. And you've also got a fairly new venture called BizSugar, which deals with blogging to a large extent. Tell us a little bit about BizSugar, Anita, and how it can help indies be successful.
Oh, yes. Well, I'm excited about BizSugar. So BizSugar is a place where anyone who has a blog or puts out articles or, you know, any content of interest to other business owners or, you know, independent people or self-employed people can go to BizSugar and you can share your blog posts on BizSugar for others to see, for the world to see. And you just simply, you'll have to register and set up an account the first time. But once you've done that, you just go to the site, you hit the submit button, and you plug in a URL that you want to submit. Or we have like a little bookmarklet that sits on your browser, and you can have it on your browser all the time. And then when you're on a page, you could submit the article. But what it'll do is it'll extract a short excerpt from your blog post, and it will post it on the BizSugar site, and then readers will see that will see the title and the little excerpt, and if they like it, they'll click over to your site to read the full article, and then they can vote on articles that they like on the site, and the top vote-getting articles get advanced to the homepage, and they get featured in our newsletter and in our top 10 widgets and so on. So it's a great opportunity to get visibility for all that great blogging that you do.
And it sounds like it's a lot of fun, too, right, Anita, because it's a way to not just share your commentary and your blog post, but also to connect with other people that may be blogging about things in your niche or that are similar to you.
Exactly. And we also, you know, there's a great community going on there. You know, quite a few people have met one another through BizSugar and have, you know, struck up, online networking relationships and, you know, even friendships that carry over to other social sites, too, such as Facebook and Twitter. So, for example, we maintain a very lively Twitter discussion. And so part of the community that's on Twitter also, you just feel like you're part of a community. You get to know people by, you know, just having discussions and sharing information back and forth on Twitter.
Anita, you know, you're what I would call a powerhouse businesswoman publishing machine. I really have just admired. Well, and it's true. I mean, I thought as I sort of, you know, I script my shows in advance, I prepare for what I'm going to say, and I thought, you know, what terms come to mind when I think about Anita Campbell? And all of those came to mind, so I thought I would share them. But, you know, I've watched, you know, over the years, and I know we've connected over the years as well through Twitter and elsewhere. And, you know, I remember when you acquired BizSugar, and I remember thinking to myself how exciting it is to go from your full-time legal career, you know, back in the day, to developing, as you said, the confidence to start your own business, and then to be able not just to start, Anita, because that anyone can do that, but you've managed and grown. Can you give us some basic tips and some of the things and insights that you can share about how you have managed, again, not to just start a business and do a good job, but to expand and be able to provide more opportunities for yourself and for the people that you come in contact with?
Well, first of all, you're very kind, Donna, so let me try to offer some tips to live up to that. First of all, it is not an overnight success thing. If you're thinking that, you know, business is about being an overnight success, and maybe you chastise yourself because you don't think you are an overnight success, get that out of your head right now. So few businesses are overnight successes. They're real rarities. And, you know, the rule is that, in fact, it takes time to grow a business, and some businesses seem to be overnight successes, but that's only because by the time you become aware of them, they already have some success. You don't know, you never hear about the years that they toiled in obscurity. So just think about that. That's the first thing. You know, I would say persistence and perseverance are vastly underrated as success factors. You know, just sticking around and sticking to it and not giving up too early, those are really, really important things. Watch your cash flow because you're going to need cash to invest and grow. And so, you know, you want to be conserving cash as much as you can as you create it. So I would say as you start your business, make sure you have enough to sell early on to get good cash flow going. If you happen to be in a business where, you know, maybe your key items are fairly expensive, you want to try to find some lower price things that you know are easier for people to buy, that have a shorter buying cycle, for example, so that you get money in and you've got money going and you're not just depending on that those big ticket items to sell. You know, and stick with it. I mean, that's probably the key thing. You know, you can expand and grow, but you've got to stick with and be around. And I didn't even think about doing that sort of stuff, you know, expanding and growing until I'd been around for 4 or 5 years.
That's exciting to know. I once heard a Hollywood actor say, there aren't any failed actors in Hollywood. There are just people who don't stick around long enough.
That's a great quote.
I thought about business when I heard that. And, you know, you mentioned something that's key as well. You said watch your cash flow. So let's talk about money for a minute. We all know that we all need money to start a business, to grow a business, and we all pretty much need more than we ever thought we needed when we were in the planning process. Anita, what sorts of trends are you seeing where money is concerned and small business is concerned? I know we've got an economic situation in this country where credit is difficult to come by, not impossible, but difficult to come by, and the landscape has changed. As we look forward to the next 4 or 5 years as indies, Anita, what are you seeing in terms of what's coming down the pike in terms of our ability to secure loans, low-interest loans, in order to grow a business? What are you seeing?
Well, the recently passed act was passed, I believe it was within the last 10 days by mm-hmm. the president and Congress at the federal level. It actually creates a fund for smaller community banks so that they can do more lending. And I would say that with small businesses and independent professionals, you know, one of the key trends we've seen is going toward your small local community banks to get loans. And for that, you need to develop a relationship. So I would say if you don't have a relationship with a small community bank, and by small community bank, I mean just a bank that, you know, maybe has at most a couple of branches, or maybe only one branch, and is locally based where the decision makers are local. If you don't have that kind of relationship with a bank, start one now. You know, set up your checking account, set up, you know, a business savings account, apply for a credit card through them, and so on. Because that relationship is one that you want to build on and get to know the people in that bank, and then you're going to be more likely to be able to get loan funding. Because you're going to have a relationship. They'll know a little bit about you before you apply for the loan. You'll actually know people personally, you know, so actually go into the branch and, you know, take the time to get to know people, you know, the managers, the assistant managers, the people behind the teller windows, whatever. All those things matter a lot. And I would also say, you know, more and more businesses use credit cards for, you know, a significant portion of their funding. This can get risky. You can easily get overextended on credit cards. But I would say if you can at least, you know, handle your credit cards in a responsible fashion by choosing a business credit card in addition to a personal credit card, you can increase your ability to pay for expenses and other things very readily, and you won't find yourself kind of left out. And I would say don't rely just on a personal credit card. Get a business credit card, because otherwise you're going to potentially find yourself maxed out on your personal credit card. Another thing that we're seeing is contests and competitions are one way that small businesses and independents are finding funding. So a lot of big companies out there and organizations are holding competitions. So, you know, look around for those. We do a biweekly list of those on smallbiztrends.com. And we list, you know, a long list of competitions and contests. You know, some of them offer services or products, but a lot of them have cash prizes. And some of them are quite nice. You know, I mean, $5,000, $10,000, you know, $30,000 cash prizes.
Yeah, I'll take that. I'll take that. And I was just going to mention, too, to our listeners that you do compile that fantastic list. Make sure you go to smallbiztrends.com to subscribe and take a look for that list every week. And I'm glad you mentioned the local community bank issue. That certainly is becoming big and bigger, and I think it's going to continue, as you just said. And I love that you're reminding us, Anita, that we don't wait until we need money to think about how we're going to get money, right?
Exactly. Exactly. You know, and it's all relationship-based when you're dealing with a smaller community bank. So be thinking of, you know, you create relationships elsewhere. Just think about your bank in the same way.
Good point. Now, as we look forward to, you know, just the next 10 years in business, we have to plan out that far in advance. What sorts of things can you share with indies that could help them to navigate in arenas that a lot of us really aren't used to navigating in, and that's specifically dealing with the issue of advocacy? We have municipal governments that we deal with. We have local governments. We have state governments. We have the federal government. And if we work in a regulated industry, which pretty much all of us do at some level, we also have regulatory agencies. What sorts of things do you do to help your clients, your readers, and yourself as well, to sort of stay on top of all of these things so we can actually participate in the process, Anita, and not just be sort of, you know, in the wind by it?
Well, one thing you can do is, you know, look to your local organizations, such as your Chamber of Commerce or other small business organizations. They are the ones who often are in a position to mount advocacy campaigns and help advocate on behalf of the small business and independent professional community. So, for instance, I belong to a group here in Northeast Ohio called COSE, C-O-S-E, and stands for the Council of Smaller Enterprises, and they cover several counties in Northeast Ohio, and they do advocacy efforts. And they do advocacy, you know, at the federal level, but more importantly, they do it at the state level. And so, for example, once a year, they'll actually rent a bus, and they'll invite their members to get on the bus and go to the state capitol, where you can meet with lawmakers and talk directly with lawmakers. And, of course, it shows lawmakers that we're involved, you know, that we're very interested in, you know, legislation. And those types of organized activities, you know, can be very helpful. Also, I would say, you know, if you don't have an organization like that that's very, you know, forward-thinking when it comes to advocacy, you know, there are certain things you can do online. You can touch base with your local legislators, your state legislators, and other lawmakers in your state and local communities. You know, many of them are online now. Many have Facebook pages. They've got their own websites. Some of them have, you know, a way that you can submit questions directly to the lawmakers. They are on Twitter. I mean, just look around and you'll be amazed at how accessible some of them can be these days. So let your voice be heard. You know, speak out directly to them and tell them how you feel about issues that affect your industry or that you think, you know, will affect you when it comes to taxes or regulatory burden or whatever it is.
Great tips, Anita, so that we can stay involved in the process. That's just so important. And certainly when you connect with other people and you get a groundswell of support around a particular issue, then you're not alone and you really have other people that you can play off of and interact with. And, of course, in those cases, our voices are heard even more clearly by our lawmakers. And as we approach an election, we certainly need to be concerned about that and aware of it. So, Anita, you've given us some great tips and certainly providing such a fantastic example of woman-led business that I think is just so inspiring. I have a final question for you. I'd like to know, you know, you read a lot of newspapers, you read blogs, you are a blogger, you connect with bloggers all the time. Why do you think it's important for people, for indies, to take the time to listen to a show like this where we discuss issues that affect their business?
Well, I think, you know, you're in a very specific type of industry, and so you're going to hear, you're more likely to hear about the issues that affect your business by listening to a show like this. And I think it's important to know that you're not alone, to know that, you know, others have dealt with the same kinds of issues and to learn a little bit about how others deal with them. And if, you know, my feeling about anything, whether it's reading an article, a blog article, or whether it's listening to a radio show, whatever, is if you get one tip out of it that helps you in your business, it's worthwhile. So I always look at it from a reader or a listener perspective, is can I get just one thing out of it? And, you know, from someone speaking, I try to look at it from the same perspective. Can I deliver just one thing that a person is going to walk away with and say, hey, I learned something that can help me be a better business person or be more successful or hire another person or whatever it is, you know, expand my business.
Well, Anita, I think you have delivered in spades, and you always do, whether it's being interviewed on a show like this or producing the content and the information and speaking live and working with American Express Open Forum. Such a fantastic and consistent delivery of information that's relevant for small business owners. Anita, tell us a couple of the main places where you want Indie Business Podcast listeners to go and connect with you and your team.
Okay, come to smallbiztrends.com. That's small, B-I-Z, trends with an S, .com. That's our main blog site. And actually, you'll see icons on there for our Twitter and Facebook, but I also maintain a very active Twitter discussion, and I do it all myself personally and respond to people and so on at Small Biz Trends on Twitter. And, of course, come to Biz Sugar, bizsugar.com. And we're also on Twitter there, too, under Biz Sugar on Twitter. And there you'll see, you know, you can become part of the community, share your blog posts, find other blog posts, connect with people. It's a great opportunity.
And I think that's true. I love the Biz Sugar site. You know, it's so inviting, and there are conversations going on there, so it's great. It's not just a bunch of, you know, thumbs ups and likes and stuff. Of course, there's that as well, but there's also people learning and sharing and conversing with each other, and as we discussed earlier, that's so important and so empowering, don't you think? And that's, I guess that's one reason why you created that site.
Exactly. You know, it is about empowering, you know, business owners. We, you know, we're I mean, I think being an entrepreneur is a high calling, and I'm proud of being an entrepreneur, and you should all be proud of being entrepreneurs and what you do and what you deliver to your communities around you, the employees you employ, you know, the service providers you hire, even if you don't have employees, whatever it is. Be proud of that. It is a very high calling.
Thank you for that final word of encouragement. Anita Campbell, founder and CEO of Small Biz Trends, .com. Check it out, and also follow her on Twitter at Small Biz Trends. My guest next week will be Dr. Cherie Madia, co-author of the Social Media Survival Guide. Dr. Madia is a university professor with a passion for educating people about how to use technologies, including social media, to grow their businesses exponentially. That's next week right here on Indie. I'll see you then. In the meantime, enjoy your life. Build your business and have your way.